Triple M's Big Breakfast for Australia's biggest ever bike sale at Team Moto Motorcycles. Save up to $7,000 on over 250 models of bikes. TeamMoto.com.au.
Hello there. Welcome to the catch up. Thank you for streaming and make sure you subscribe. It was a long time coming, but it's now official. Wayne Bennett sacked from the Broncos.
Well, it was no surprise in the end. You're right. But the big thing was that Dobbo, when doing the report on it, told us how he went round to Wayne's house after the thing. And there's Wayne. That's in his jammies.
So weird.
And we missed a lot of questions. No. What sort of jammies were they? Were they Broncos boxer shorts or
Souths?
Eels boxer shorts.
Oh,
there's a can of worms. Or were they Peter Alexander with a panda on it or something like that?
A little sausage dog.
What sort of jammy guy would Wayne be?
Why did you both say tasteful sausage dog?
Because that's the actual motif of a Peter Alexander pyjama.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant that's when Little Wayne stuck his head out.
Yeah. Peter Alexander, as in the real fella with the pyjamas, has a sausage dog.
I hope he doesn't call it his little sausage dog. Tasteful little sausage dog.
My duck's hunt.
Isn't there a rap singer called Little Wayne?
Yeah. Little Wayne, indeed. Yeah, well done. Good knowledge. Hey, speaking of can of worms, we opened one today.
Yeah, I just made the brash and broad statement because I am soft, that you can't live in Brisbane without air conditioning.
Seemed like a good, solid argument you had, but geez, people.
No,
people
they turned.
If they're tough, they want to ring you.
Very interesting decision from the Triple M family, who I always invite to climb onto the couch for a bit of counselling on a Monday in Dear Moon Man. Interesting one this week. So have a listen.
Get in your PJs, just chill out.
With your little
grab hold of Little Wayne.
Get your dash hound out and enjoy
and stroke it. And pat it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
He's not the Messiah.
Wayne's
a very naughty boy.
I reckon he's very naughty. He's played very this naughty. To suit himself. For a team man and a team game, he has just played this right to the end just for about Wayne.
I am absolutely disgusted with it all. I used it as a parenting tool yesterday. I was saying to my boys, because highly successful people define themselves by what they do, right? Mm-hmm. And I kept saying to my kids, it's not what you do is just what you do. Who you are as a human being is how you behave. And I thought he behaved appallingly.
She says, they look as baffled as I am now, what
pretty
that
much.
All means.
Well, I just think that it's all played out the way he wanted.
How and have you used Wayne Bennett? Just tell them to make their beds and get out of there. Mum, pick up some towels.
But you said it yourself, Marto. He's a bloke that's going to go into a team and talk about being a team man and, you know, making a sacrifice for the team. It seems that he doesn't mind making it all about himself, which is exactly the opposite of what you want when you're coaching
a
side.
That's right. And then yesterday afternoon, if anyone doesn't know, we haven't said his last name. It's Wayne Bennett we're talking about. If you've just arrived in Brisbane and go, what's a Wayne?
What is a Wayne Bennett?
It's a Wayne.
He was a Broncos coach.
We weren't talking about Tony Bennett, the great singer from New York.
Lady Gaga.
Hey, but the big thing was, if anyone doesn't know, that Paul White, the CEO of the Broncos, they've been friends since, I think, Bennett would have taught Paul White at the police academy in the mid-ish 80s, been knowing each other, been friends. That's one of the reasons Wayne came back to Brisbane Broncos, was because Paul White was in charge.
They wouldn't be friends now, though, would they?
Oh, God, no. Apparently they haven't spoken civilly for months and months. And
since the barbecue.
Around that. That's months ago. And this is Paul White yesterday. He could not get hold of Wayne Bennett to tell him that the News Limited have said, listen, they own the club. They own most of the club. And they said, "We, it's gone. It's over." Whitey couldn't find him.
I didn't have the opportunity to speak to him this afternoon. I made multiple phone calls and I unfortunately had to communicate that decision via voice message and then over email. You might ask, was that disappointing? Yes, it was. But such was the nature of this whole issue that it was important that we had it resolved, particularly before the players return tomorrow, and I wasn't in a position to speak to him directly.
And where was he, everyone?
Having Mexican.
Man.
In South Bank, apparently.
Hello, Senor Wayne, come in. Are you a Bronco or are you a rabbit?
He's about to have his fourth tequila.
La 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 la.
So that's why he didn't answer his phone. But he was with his son, apparently, Justin, his son. And who knows what the real story is. Would Wayne be a phone carrier? I don't really know.
Well, you came up with a solution. He couldn't answer the phone because he had guacamole and sour cream all over his fingers.
And you don't want that on the screen because then it's in your key.
He would be a phone ignorer. Wayne Bennett would look and see who it was and went,
yeah. Correct. I don't need to take a phone call from the CEO.
Yeah, don't need to take that.
Senor Wayne, what do you want to eat?
burrito.
Sorry,
I can't hear you, Senor Wayne.
Fajita, thanks very much. Thankfully, about an hour and 50 ago, we had Dobbo. Did anyone see the picture? Obviously, sports journos don't do a lot of work. Weren't expecting to go to work on a Sunday arvo. There was Dobbo and about three other blokes there at the press conference
in shorts and t-shirts.
No, well, Jobbo got dressed up,
but he did.
He did tell us about an hour a bit ago about Wayne and getting paid out, etc.
He'll be getting paid a little bit from Brisbane. He had a contract. From my understanding, his contract had some terms in it where he would get some compensation.
Didn't he break that contract by speaking to the South Sydney players and trying to organise? He's trying to coach two teams at once.
There's grounds for that. But, Marto, seriously, every NRL coach talks to other teams and other players.
Well.
Because that's the question. Did he get paid at the $1 million? Because if he did, then he's just played us all like a rally.
So whatever South we go, oh, God, who cares?
But in the end, it's a problem you prepared to pay to make go away, aren't you? And that's the game
exactly
he plays.
All right, so if he works for Coles... If he was the boss at Coles and said, "Oh, after the year after next, I'm going to Woolworths," what would they do? They'd get rid of him straight away.
Of course they would.
And that's what they finally got around to. But the big thing, if you missed this an hour ago, Dobbo then
this was massive.
He was on the hunt, and straight after the press conference, where did Dobbo go?
The minute he got sacked, I drove over to his house, pressed the buzzer and was allowed in. He wouldn't let me in with a camera, but I sat there and talked to him. It was a weird situation. He was actually in his pyjamas.
Oh, that's too much.
That's about 5 in the afternoon, I'm thinking that was. Like, who's got their jammies on?
And why, why do you let a journalist into your house and not put pants on?
Especially Dobbo.
That is true.
I don't get that.
Because Dobbo was wearing a nightie. Come on, Brisbane, lie down on the couch and let me hear your problems. It's time for Dear Moon Man. Okay, here we go, Robin and Marlo. Always a needy listener writes in, often the same listener, a woman called Lou or a guy called Lawrence. But anyway,
who's this
today? Dear Moon Man, I'm the wife of a comedian and radio host called The Moon Man.
Okay, it's Lou.
It's your wife. Again.
Yep. This woman writes, let me make no mistake, he works for Triple M and often pretends that it's not me. His wife writing, and that I'm mystically referring to some other Moon Man in a parallel universe. I'm talking about Lawrence Mooney, the Moon Man.
She's named him.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Named and shamed. Okay, well, let's find out what my crime was. My husband is a man that loves to indulge in all of life's pleasures. He calls himself a hedonist. I call him a funny little fella. As one might a pup that comes out last and appears to have been starved of oxygen for the first few days of its life.
Oh.
Then it opens its eyes, starts barking and never stops running around chasing its own tail and occasionally pees on the carpet.
Are you saying the runt of the litter? The is that what she...
That's what
runt.
She's saying. The runt.
Right. Are you sure you're somehow hearing that right?
Oh, you runter.
You runter.
You absolutely runt.
She's also referring to the fact that I might be mildly mentally retarded.
Well, but, okay. There was that. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, my husband sure is a funny little fella.
Oh, dear.
He sounds like fun and he sounds cute, if you ask me, Lou. On the weekend, my husband went out for yet another, in inverted commas, big one. He always makes out that he's doing it reluctantly and that it's some kind of arduous chore. Yeah, got to go out for a big one where he has to actually work hard for the first time in his life. The normal modus operandi is Sunday morning, he bounces out of bed to pretend he hasn't got a hangover, empties the dishwasher, puts a load of washing on, brings me a cup of tea, goes out, skims the pool, rakes some leaves.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's a good bloke, I reckon. Don't be fooled. This is all designed to justify an afternoon nap on the couch.
Oh,
he's an
nice.
Indulgent fool, but he's not an idiot.
Oh,
and this is where my issue comes in. Yesterday afternoon, whilst asleep on the couch, I was struck by a revolting sight. Asleep on the couch, the little man's head was kicked back, his throat was open, he was rasping like metal was being sawn. There was dribble coming down the side of his face, dried. His belly was poking out from underneath his shirt.
Oh, Jesus.
And his shorts had ridden up, creating a sculpture that can only be described as a sloth's claw. A sloth's claw is cruel. The one long nail.
Yeah,
you gotcha.
Yeah.
The trouble is, I've seen something that I cannot unsee.
Oh,
I need your advice. What should I do?
Gosh.
Yeah. It's just an afternoon nap.
There's only one thing you can do.
It's only an afternoon nap.
Yeah. What do you think she should do, Robin?
Oh, absolutely leave him.
True that.
Yeah, she's got to leave.
You can't come back from a sloth's claw.
Why is she still with you?
It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
Righto, Friday night, the Horn-Mundine fight finally came on around 11 o'clock. What did everyone make of it?
Joke.
Boo.
Well, I was surprised by its brevity, but apparently the crowd was just baying for blood and they didn't seem to be upset by the fact that it went so short.
Also wanted to go to bed.
It went for 96 seconds, which, you know, I mean, it depends what you want to compare 96 seconds to. To an international flight, it's very short, but compared to, you know,
to a normal sex session that you attend.
That's right. It's a marathon.
You've done two in that time. Hey, I see this morning, I looked at it and went, I didn't think he hit him that hard for it to go down. And a lot of blokes I spoke to on Saturday were going the same thing.
Was he knocked out?
No, he wasn't knocked.
Because it was running so late. I was going to actually get it on Foxtel. I was going to watch it. And
my boys, Harry paid for it at our house.
Oh, you did? Okay. And then I went at about 9:30. I checked where they were at and they were running so behind. I thought, I won't bother doing this. But
it went very late, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, all the prior fights, we said that on Friday morning. These things are always notoriously late. Don't think you're going to sit down at 6:30 and watch Horn-Mundine. All the other fights went the full rounds apart from one of them. They went long, and they didn't even play the national anthem in the end.
Oh, they didn't.
Did you know, here, listen to this, Horn had a plan. For months, Horn had been practicing with his trainer, Glenn Rushton, you know, the bogan with a sequence of punches designed to break through Mundine's normally tight defence. The plan was always to attack the body with ferocity from the opening bell, put Mundine on the back foot, make him drop his hands to protect his ribs, and then go him, him on the chin, and that's how it played itself out. It's almost as if Mundine read the same plan.
Well, yeah. Oh, hold on a moment. You're not suggesting that the fix was in.
Was it sus at all, the whole
thing? I don't know. 133353.
Or was it just the fact that that was a 43-year-old man and Horn can only beat up old people? What is it? What does everyone else make of what you just saw?
Are you sticking with your original promo of the fight? Flabby PE teacher beats up old man.
Yes. Well, that's all he's beaten. Let's face it.
Well, Pacquiao was pretty good.
Pacquiao was 38.
And he's a Filipino karaoke singer.
He's a Filipino
politician.
Yes, exactly. He's a
PE teacher, punches up karaoke
old
singer.
Hold on. Are we being cynical? But yes. I just got my doubts. 96 seconds to drop a bloke. You could surely, that heavyweight got up after being pounded by someone who was 110 kilograms.
Mundine just went, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. Is he lying there going 2 million or whatever he got paid? I may as well get out of here.
He wouldn't. Surely.
Troy of North Lakes, what did you make of the Mundine Horn fight?
Well, I was there for 3 days setting up all the lighting for the ring.
Righto.
I was in the tunnel, actually, and the promoter was pretty, like, I can't believe these, same as what Marto said, these fights are going the full bout. They didn't expect the fights to go that long, like the pre-undercards. And I'm like, this one's going to go the 10 rounds. He goes, don't say that. I go, this is. And then we're there till 4 a.m. packing it up. So
you were pretty happy when the 96 seconds punch came. Oh,
exactly. It was like being showered in alcohol. When I walked out the front, everyone stood up at once and it was like a wave of alcohol went over everyone.
Oh.
We got drenched.
Fair call.
Yes.
Hey, what did you think? Wait, but you would have been watching it. Was it a fair dinkum punch?
Oh, yes. Dinkum punch. Okay. Yeah. Body shot and then, followed through. The body shot did it, I reckon.
Yeah, softened him up. Yeah.
Okay. Good on you, Troy. Thank you. Devin of Stafford, what did you make of the Mundine Horn fight?
Oh, we had mixed emotions. You know, we were so excited. Jeff Horn, to his credit, came out and gave us a couple of freebies, the guys at the school. And got the kids home, got them to bed, you know, got out there. And, we got the result we obviously wanted. But to wait till 11 o'clock was ridiculous. I basically had a blue with the missus the whole way home about the punch. He's called me a boxing expert. I'm no boxing expert, but you watch fights like the UFC and that. When they're knocked out, mate, they don't speak for a week.
That's right, mate. You worry about boxing.
Devin, can I ask you this? Were there any Anthony Mundine fans in the audience? Any Choco fans?
Oh, of course, mate. Yeah, it was a really good night, actually.
You rated it?
Yeah. I thought it was a good crowd, old school crowd, mate. It reminded me of Lane Park back in the 80s, you know.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
Thanks, Devin. And Mitch of North Lakes, what did you make of the fight?
Yeah, I went to the pub and watched it with my dad. Obviously didn't have enough money to go to the actual fight myself. But, yeah, see, Horn, he's a good fighter as well. He did his background check and he did his homework. And, like, I fight myself and I've been doing a few exhibition fights. And, see, as you do your homework and your background check, you make up a plan of what you want to fight. And that's what Horn did. But as another fighter, Mundine, you can't actually help that in the ring. Like, if you're getting hit in the body and you have to
protect.
And you can't really, you know, watch yourself for that headshot, because Mundine was thinking to himself, he's just going to go for the body the whole time, and just come up with an unexpected punch. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
Well, we've had a bit of everything there. That's quite good. We had an expert. We had a couple of,
we had it all.
I'll wear it.
Okay.
I'll wear it.
Everyone disagreed with you.
What's that?
They said it was a fair
fight.
An actual punch, fair fight, good fight.
But it was an old bloke. That's
how
what the,
dare
the,
you
the
cast really... aspersions.
No question. It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
My daughter has returned from schoolies.
Schoolies.
She is in one piece. As a father, I was very supportive of the fact that she was going along with a bunch of friends. She went to a coastal town in Victoria called Lawn. She lives in Melbourne still. And so Lawn is a pretty big coastal town, but it's the frontage is probably, you know, 1 to 2 kilometres wide, so it's not huge.
Oh, yeah.
So once it is besieged by school children or, you know, teenagers.
It's a holiday place, mean, over there.
A holiday destination. Yeah, it's a beautiful holiday destination, you know, $1 million holiday houses, still there's a lot of camping and caravanning on in Lawn. But so she got a house with her friends and the boys got a house in the same street, and I was completely supportive of that. I thought they've kind of grown up together, they know one another, so they're amongst friends, and there's not going to be a lot of randoms.
That's better than the Gold Coast, where everyone just rents in high rises. 22,000 kids go to high rises. It's horrible.
And then parties on the beach.
As we know, the high rise has its inherent problems with the sad death of a young man last week. But I spoke to Lil yesterday at a family function, and she was telling me all about schoolies, and I am so impressed at how well it was run. So she said, yes, there were drugs and alcohol, of course, and it was used within reason. But she said all through the coastal town where they are were the Red Frogs, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Mm.
It's a Christian group that come and look after kids if they're looking ill or they want to leave home. And she said they had a big bus and used to drive us all home each night once the pubs had shut. And it was just merriment on that bus.
You go down the coast, those Red Frogs, they make breakfast. They offer to come and cook you some food. They go, have you eaten? Oh, no, I haven't eaten all day.
Nothing.
They'll offer you to come and cook your food. And under that guise, I've spoken to them, they check that everything's okay, that everyone's all right in the apartment. So they're pretty clever.
They're a Christian group that they don't do any preaching or handing out of Bibles. And then there's another group, Lily was telling me, they're a youth health crisis group. They're the white people, all in white T-shirts. Mm. Now, none of these people tell you to stop drinking or not taking drugs. They just check in on you all the way through. And she said there was only one very clear person that ended up in an ambulance. But the rest of it was just such good spirit and good fun and people looking after one another. And I was incredibly impressed, because we didn't have that infrastructure when I was a kid. You just went away. You're blind with your mates.
Where's
if
Davo?
Anything happened, you're on your own. Where's Davo? Oh, he's choking on his own vomit. Didn't you know how to, you know, put him in the coma position? But I think that also the kids today are a lot more savvy. I was just impressed with the whole thing. So I'm saying yes to schoolies. Schoolies is awesome. And from my experience, you know, you hear a lot of tales of woe. Occasionally there's some flare-ups, but she said there
was, mate, for the number of people,
no
even
trouble
down the Gold Coast, give them a wrap. The support staff around Schoolies Week is pretty bloody good.
Think about it. It's not just down the coast. The kids go to Noosa, kids go to Stratty,
Byron.
Kids go to Moreton, kids go to Byron, kids go on cruises, kids go to Bali, and you get one or two reports of things going wrong. And yes, as you say, they do occasionally.
So
but
many of them.
Hundreds of thousands of young people are having the time of their life.
Mm. Give us a call and tell us how good Schoolies was for you or for your kid. Let's have some great schooly stories, because I think it's a great institution and it's just getting better and better.
Jade of Tagum, what happened at schoolies? Good experience?
Yeah, we had a great experience. When we did schoolies, it was 10 years ago now, but our class, we're from the middle of nowhere in New South Wales, and instead of going up to the Goldie like most other people for the week, we decided to go to Vanuatu for about 8 days.
You weren't cheap. You decided to strike out on your own.
We did. We ventured out.
How, how many?
There was about 10 of us. Good. Yeah.
Awesome.
So we all went over together. There was, a lot of drinking. But, you know, in between everything, we had, like, lagoon cruises, snorkeling.
Excellent.
Really awesome trips up to, cool waterfalls. And, it was an awesome time. It was really great.
And you got to hang around with the people you'd been at school with, and you'd be rock solid, your best friends. You got to reflect on your 12 years of schooling rather than meeting all these other knuckleheads who are half drunk you've never met before.
Pretty much. Well, a lot of the people that we went with too, we went to preschool together. So, really close group of people. Yeah.
Were there other schools in Vanuatu doing the same thing? Did you get to meet a knucklehead or two?
No, there was no one else there. We didn't see anybody else. So it's just us and our crew just hanging out.
And how good is it? To 10 years on, that's still a positive experience. Good on you, Jade.
It was fantastic. Thank you very much, guys.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Now, Marto, I've been hearing mentions of the fact that you went on a chopper ride all weekend, across the weekend, this morning again. It's something you said you don't want to talk about.
Don't want to talk about it, mate.
When you say chopper ride, did you get a dink from an outlaw motorcyclist?
That's not right.
A Christmas party?
No.
Was it one of those?
That's not right.
No.
I'm talking
went
a wonderful
on a
executive
helicopter. And where did you go exactly?
Went to the Gundawindi races and back in one day. I don't want to talk about it, though.
Yeah. Why not? Because you don't want to admit
it.
To having rich mates who have got helicopters. This is the second time in as many weeks you've been in a helicopter.
Same mate. Well, he's not my mate. He's a mate of a mate.
Now.
Well, yeah, I'm getting quite chummy with him.
He's got a chopper. He's the mate to get chummy with.
He's a very.
So how does it work?
What?
You get in the chopper. Where did you get into it?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yes, you do.
Now, I find myself at Channel 9's helipad on Saturday morning and the chopper comes in from Toowoomba, picked us up, took us back to Toowoomba. Then we got some more fuel.
How many people?
Well, there were seven really big blokes. The pilot said when we picked them all up, so there was only two of us they picked up from Brisbane. Mm. I don't really want to talk about it.
No. Yeah, but if you were going to talk about it, keep going.
Well, so two in Brisbane. Where are the next picked up?
In the bloke's driveway, just on the hill in Toowoomba.
Well, you can just land
a chopper.
That's
where you pick people up in Toowoomba. You just pick them up in their backyard or driveway. Because there's nothing there. Then the few cattle move out of the way and you land and you pick them up.
Great.
So in the end, we had seven. Then we had to get some fuel from the airport there. And then we
seven
took off.
Seven big blokes in a chopper.
Six blokes were all over 100 kilograms and one bloke was under and the pilot was over 100. So there was a fair bit of weight. So we were only allowed to bring one carton for every to share. And he figured then you'd weigh it all out so it would be lighter on the way home.
Good one.
Went to Gundawindi, went through all these fires. And the day at Gundawindi, we went to the Gundawindi races. We landed. Can you imagine how we landed in the middle of the track at Gundawindi races? There was about 2,000 people there, Moon. Hopped over the barrier fence, the horses run around. Jumped the next fence and then we were in the bar.
Yeah,
so you, what a day. Not many choppers would turn up to Gundawindi, though.
It was the only one.
It was
very impressive, though, because the photos I've seen on Facebook, the Cox plates were there.
What?
The guy who owned Winx, Tony.
What's his face?
No one knows. Doesn't matter.
He'd spoken at a dinner the night before in Gundawindi, and he just happened to have, he probably goes everywhere with them, happened to have all four Cox plates. I took a photo. They wouldn't let me into the members' room. Took a photo, and my reflection is in a Cox plate. It's just freaky. I'll tell you what, the main bookmaker, the mayor of the town. You know you're in a small town. When the bookmaker, Graham Shuey's name was, took a bit of cash off him for the arvo.
Oh, that's great.
Shuey.
He's the mayor. So it was the whole afternoon was classic. People are having their Christmas parties, pretending they were in corporate tents and stuff. It was magnificent. And my mate sponsored one of the races. That's why we were there.
Gundawindi has a place in the Mooney family household because my father bet on Gunsind in the 1972 Melbourne Cup, the Gundawindi Grey.
That's the name of the racetrack. The Gunsind racetrack is what we were at. He won the Melbourne Cup, early mid-70s?
I don't think he won. I reckon he came second.
No, I reckon he won. Gundawindi Grey. The Gundawindi Grey. That's the most important thing that came out of Gundawindi was Gunsin, and we were on his racetrack, and it was what a day. And then we all went home, and You are home. You've been to Gundawindi, which is 300 kilometres away and back, and I was home before the sun went down.
Wow.
And
you,
full.
Yeah, you but you don't
changed,
want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Oh, my gosh. The weekend was such a punish with the heat.
Yep.
It was just disgraceful. And I have to be honest, I am very, very soft because we have had air conditioning, but two of our air conditioners are broken down.
Oh, that's a nightmare. No. My mate's got the same thing in his bedroom. His air conditioner broke down.
One of them is in our bedroom. Oh. One is in the lounge room. They're under warranty, so we're waiting for a part or something, and it's taken a really long time. And last night, Sean and I, my husband Sean and I, got into what, we don't fight ever, but it was a slightly tense situation because it's 10 o'clock at night, it's 27 degrees and I can't sleep.
It was 29 at 8 o'clock when I tried to go to bed. Honestly, Kath and I had a few crosswords yesterday during the day and we had to apologise last night. Mate, it was like Darwin. That's what they say in the build-up to the wet in Darwin, domestic violence and people arguing
because you're so
terrible.
Cross and cranky. So the argument for us was at 10 o'clock at night that I wanted to go downstairs to the one air conditioner that was working sleep under it. Mm. And he was like, well, you can't leave the bed. Like, this is where we sleep.
Well, not the matrimonial bed.
And I'm like, it's too
hot. You made your bed, sleep in it.
The workbench.
Yeah, he wouldn't come with me. Yeah. So I waited till he fell asleep.
What was he using for coolness? Did you have a fan of any sort?
Well, we got this one that we perched onto the chest of drawers and it did absolutely nothing. And I was just getting crankier and crankier. Anyway, I'm just going to make the bold and brash statement that you cannot live in Brisbane without air conditioning.
Oh, Robin, you can't say that. No. You can't just. It's a bonus.
What?
It's a luxury that you have.
Not many people may know this. Mm. You don't live with air conditioning, Marto.
I refuse to. I've been in the same house for 21 years. There is one unit in our house, I will admit that, in Harry, who works hard as an apprentice carpenter, but he's on the wrong side of the house. He doesn't get breezes, so we said, you can have an air con. He hasn't been out of there in 7 years. We haven't seen him. So, mate, he has this wonderful room, and we're all so envious because we can feel the air coming under the door, and we're just wandering around in a toaster.
I rest my case. Mm. You can't live in Brisbane without air conditioning.
No, I can. We went to sleep. It took a while last night. You put water over yourself. You put a little bit of water on your face and put the fan really close.
System.
Kath's got a fan on her side of the bed, and it's like a little cyclone.
And you growled at your wife. Hey? You even admit it. You had a little...
During the day, we were angry, and then we've got a swimming pool. So we figure we've got a swimming pool. We don't need air con. Jump in the swimming pool, you jump out, and the air blows on you, and it's just magnificent.
Dousing yourself in water and lying under a fan sounds like a very good system. Sounds like...
practical.
Sounds like air conditioning.
Yeah. I say you can't live in Brisbane without air conditioning.
You can't.
Yeah, Moon's on my side.
I bet you a lot of people do.
Well, let's see. Andrew of Goodnow, what do you reckon? Can you live with air conditioning or without it?
Yeah, I think you can. I've lived in Goodnow for about 24 years now.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, a couple of weeks of the year. The trick is you find a friend who's got air conditioning and spend some days around their place.
And a lot of people go to the shopping centres too, go and watch the movies yesterday.
Used to go bowling. Yeah.
To find aircon.
Okay, excuse me, that means that you can't live without it because you're trying to find it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know. Mm. Okay, Lillian.
Hold on, are you
Field?
Trying to skew these results? Andrew
I'm
said
not.
He's been at Goodna for 20 years and Goodna would be another 4 degrees hotter than Brizzy.
But he says he copes with it by going to someone's house with air conditioning.
Yeah, not always.
Lillian, good morning.
Morning.
What do you reckon?
Well, we moved to Queensland 20 years ago because we wanted a change of climate, which we got. But we built a Queenslander, and we live in Morayfield. We don't often get the sea breezes because we're in a valley.
Yeah.
We have no air conditioning.
How'd you get to bed sleep last night?
Oh, well, we have fans in our rooms. Yeah. We have ceiling fans in all the rooms.
Ceiling fans? Do you go the wet sheet or anything?
No.
That sounds really
dodgy. It was easy. And I was home all weekend except for when we went to do the grocery shopping early Saturday morning. So
you got a dog?
Cool.
You got a dog?
No, we don't have a dog. We used to have a dog.
What's that
but we
got to do with anything?
A dog will always tell you where the coolest place in the whole house is, and it's always downstairs on a slab.
Oh, they can always find the coolest place in the house, and usually it's the pool when it's stinking hot.
Now, Lillian, are you being...
jump in the pool, get back out, go and sit under the fan in the house.
Are you being deliberately defiant like me and just making your family suffer just so you can be tougher?
No, we hate air conditioning.
Oh, no.
Like, it's bad for the environment. I have to work. I have to work in air conditioning and I do tend to get sick. So we prefer not to have it at home.
You're killing the environment, Robin, is what Lillian really wanted to say.
Lillian's furious at you, Robin.
Right, thanks for putting words in Lillian's mouth. She's way too lovely for that.
You're all responsible for climate crane. All of you climate change.
Phil and Paranga, what do you reckon about aircon? Can you live with it or without it?
No, you could probably live without it, but why be uncomfortable?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
My kids aren't going to school today because state schools south of Rockhampton don't have to have air conditioners. They've taken the principal and they have to sit in their air-conditioned office, but the kids don't get it, so they get a bit of a break today. But
they said to the kids, don't come to school.
Oh, they've sort of said, oh, it's up to you guys, up to parents to make a decision. So in the hot days, they tend to do that.
But it's not going to be hot today.
It's the internet. We never had the internet a few years ago. We use that now, so, makes life easier.
Well done, Phil.
Evolve.
Very true.
The man speaks truth.
I hope Arthur never comes to fix up your air conditioner.
Oh, then I'll be knocking on your door and going, come on, Marto, help fix it.
Go to a shopping centre.
Oh, this is unbelievable. On 133353, the results are in. 85% of callers saying you can indeed live without air conditioning.
What, 85?
85% of our callers.
It's only been 2 years since I've had an air conditioning car.
Can you at least concede that not everyone has a pool? So if you don't have a pool, need an air conditioner.
Oh, you remember the sprinkler days, everyone?
Oh, sprinkler days. Well, you keep wrapping yourself in a wet cloth like the English patient. You enjoy your life. Big breakfast on Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.